Introducing Ellie Weber on a Tuesday morning at 30 seconds to 9. In Sefer Mitzvot, but not exactly. The question is, what happened to the Mitzvot in Sefer Breishit? Take it away.
It is a Sefer HaMitzvot topic.
Yes.
It's just a more interesting one. And it came to me, I had to do something this past week, and I was poking around, and I realized, you know, if you ask people, what's the theme of Sefer Devarim? So they would say, it's a lot of mitzvahs. You know, there are some, there's some narrative portions put in, but mostly, you know, Mishnah Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu reviews and reveals, you know, a whole range. And if you look at any Sefer mitzvah, like the Sefer Achinuch, I don't know, there are hundreds of mitzvahs in Sefer Devarim.
It's a summary.
Huh?
It's a summary.
Okay, well, we're not going to talk about Sefer Devarim. We're here about to talk about Sefer Breishis. If I ask you, what's Sefer Breishis? So you would correctly say, it's narrative. It's story. But there are some mitzvos thrown in to Sefer Breishis. But for some reason, we don't take seriously, and I say in air quotes, we don't take seriously the mitzvos in Sefer Breishis. Meaning, overwhelmingly, you don't find, even for mitzvahs that are clearly sourced in Sefer Breishis, you don't find the Rambam quoting Psukim from Sefer Breishis. You generally don't find, it's like a complete bidieved to have to rely on Sefer Breishis as a halachic source. Sefer Breishis is exclusively, you know, stories, and, you know, if we had to, we would. And I want to show you examples, because the more I looked at it, the more fascinating I found it. There are famous examples and there are less famous examples. Let's start with a less famous example, but one that's worth thinking about. In last week's parsha, okay, Yosef and the brothers are taking Yaakov Avinu back. He's dead. They're taking Yaakov Avinu to bury him in Marat HaMachpelah. And the pasuk says in number one, Vayavou Agoran Ha'atah, they came to this place, Asher Be'ever HaYarden, it's on the other side of the Yarden. Vayispidu sham mispeid gadol. There was a big, big, you know, mourning ceremony. Kaved meod. Vayas la'aviv evel shivat yamim. What is that?
Shiva.
Right, Shiva. So you go, you know, there are these makoros for Shiva and for other things in Yechezkel and in weird places. Here you have, yo, what could be a better source? Yosef sat Shiva for his father. Okay, it's a little confusing. It's true, but Yosef, what?
It's not a mitzvah.
How do you know?
Because it doesn't tell us what to do. Every mitzvah has this phraseology saying you should do this. You should do that.
Maybe not. We could find sources either way. It's a fair point. What I'm saying is, you don't often find reference when you're looking at, first of all, Shiva almost certainly is not a mitzvah in HaTorah. Bizman Hazeh, we don't really think so. It's a machlokas. But nobody says to themselves, hey, the Torah went out of its way to tell me that, why do I need this detail? Wouldn't it have been enough to say, they came to Goran Atad, Vayisbid Hashem mispeid gadol v'chaved me'od. Why would I need, it's a fair point, why would I need this detail that the Torah tells me, Vayas laviv evel shivat yamin, if it was not to teach me that there's some value in Shiva? It's a fair question. You could reject it, but I would say to you, any reasonable person who didn't know anything about halacha would say, this seems just as important as anything you find in Sefer Vayikra, because the Torah went out of its way to tell me. Yes.
So in that same vein.
Wait, one second. I have another thought. Contrast that to where they try to learn the source for Sheva Bracha, so Shiva Simei HaMishta, from when Lavan says to Yaakov after he screws him over and he gives him Leah, and then he says, Malei Shuvu Azot, Vitnit Nalacha Gamed, you know. Right? So there, people do want to use it as a source, but you could argue that that's just the story.
Yeah.
But here, I would argue it's not the story.
No, it's just a story. It's a story about Laban.
Okay, good.
Why would we learn anything from him?
That's another good point. Yes.
We have that it says that they embalm him for 40 days, and then they all cry for, they mourn for 70 days.
Right.
And they go out of their way to tell us that.
Right.
With that same idea, what will we learn from that if embalming might be a mitzvah and crying for 70 days might be a mitzvah?
Okay, so Bruce is making a different point. Bruce is saying once you start learning things from stories and Sefer Bereishis, how do you know when to stop? I would argue that it's pretty obvious that it was an Egyptian custom, and you don't learn from Egyptian customs. Here, Yosef HaTzadik on his own. Yosef HaTzadik on his own. Now, luckily for me, as usual, I have prepared for the Shir, you have not. So I'm aware of a Yerushalmi that you're not aware of. If you look in source number 2, the Yerushalmi says as follows. Minayin le'evel min ha-Torah shiva. How do you know you're supposed to sit shiva from the Torah? Because the pasuk says, "Vayas la'aviv evel shivat yamin." Okay, so thank you very much. First of all, I got a Yerushalmi. Now, I'm quoting this Yerushalmi to make the point that it's so rare and it's probably rejected. Watch the next line. This is fantastic. The Yerushalmi that says, "Ulemeidin davar kodem lematan Torah." And it's perfectly permissible to learn halacha from something that occurred before Matan Torah. That's the Yerushalmi.
Then we can have meat and milk, according to Abraham served up the angels, meat and milk, according to some of the
Mephoshim. Even you know that's not a good question. Because the Torah then came and said it was Asur. So in that case, for sure you can't learn. Okay, there they try to argue that he gave him the milchiks first, and then he's a Talmud Chacham. He knew this stuff. Okay, but here's the fascinating thing: the simple reading of this is okay, and you could learn stuff from before Matan Torah. But the greatness, one of the great things about learning Gemara, is it was written without punctuation. So while I read it to you, what's called binichuta as a statement. The source is Vayas Laviv Evel Shivat Yamim Ulemeidin Dover Mikoda Matan Torah. Most Rishonim say that's not how you read it. You read it as follows: Ulemeidim Dover Kodem Lamatan Torah. That's not true. We know you don't learn things, halachic things, from before Matan Torah. And then the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, goes on to give other potential sources. It's very unclear how to read this Yerushalmi. What I find interesting is, at least the Havamin of the Yerushalmi was like any of our Havaminas, which is, hey, if Yosef sat Shiva, maybe we should sit Shiva. Then the continuation is unclear. Either it's possible to learn things from before Matan Torah, or it's completely, or it's not a source. Now, before we go on, what's an argument pro, what's an argument con? Like, what would be the upside of saying, okay, let's scour Sefer Bereishis and see what people did, and we'll do it?
Well, the upside is, why have it in there if not to learn something from it?
Well, so first of all, it's true about details, although that's already discussed all over. Meaning, the first Rashi in the Torah is, why doesn't the Torah start from HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the first real halacha? And the obvious answer is because we're a people with a history. You could play with it different ways, but it's obvious that even if I want to make this argument, Sefer Bereishis, we're not going to turn it into a Sefer of halacha. It's clearly... the formation of the creation of the world and the formation of Am Yisrael. All I'm saying is, okay, but during the process of the formation of Am Yisrael, there are things we could learn lahalacha. Why would it be that people would say, can't learn any halachas from before Matan Torah? It's a you cannot. And that's a machlokas. Okay, we certainly reshav. Let's do more. Let me show you examples that I think are not so famous, but are good ways to see this principle. Okay.
By the way, would things before Matan Torah be for all people? Perhaps should follow these laws, and then
so
for
you,
Jews.
You see, you're accidentally saying something very important, which is, wait, there wasn't really a Jewish people before Matan Torah,
right.
So, right? Certainly, here, do it this way: the Zion Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. There were only B'nai Noach. Certainly, no matter what you want to claim, before Avraham Avinu, there were no Jewish people, there was just humanity. And they got mitzvahs, and what's the status of those mitzvahs? So, interesting that I should ask. Because, look in source 3. Here's what's going on. Noach comes out of the teva. Okay? God, for the first time, gives Noach the great news. This vegetarian thing is not working. Okay? Let's have a barbecue. Thank God. Now, like, to me, the most important pasuk in the Torah. Okay?
Israelis can't live with that
one. No, we would be nowhere. We'd be like Buddhists if it wasn't for that. Now, you know, running closely second to the permission to eat meat is belief in God. But really, the meat thing, I think, is the main. Okay, now, you look at three. So, along with that, the Torah tells you as follows. However, ach basar b'nafsho dam lo tochelu. But you're not allowed to eat blood. Okay, there's an issur of eating blood. And on top of that, va'ach es dimchem l'nafsho sechem ed rosh miyad kol chaya ed rishenu umiyad ha'adam umiyad ish achiv ed rosh es nefesh ha'adam. And there are two things here. One is the prohibition to drink blood. The other, this is also used as a source to learn out, the issur of Eiver Min Achai. Okay? It's Eiver Min Achai. It's not something that we do very often. Eiver Min Achai is to basically, you know, pull a bone off an animal that's still alive. That thing is treif. Even if you shechted the animal, right, it's a very cruel and mean thing to do.
I had that in the movie Dune. Okay,
I didn't see
maybe in the audience.
Right? I didn't see a movie, but Phil Ehrlich, a guy I worked with, who liked to make fun of Orthodox Jews, he knew only a little bit. He would say to me, like when he would see me, "Hey, rip any bones off a live animal lately?" That was like his thing that he said. So there are two isurim here: one, blood; second, Eiver Min Achai; third. What?
You have a lot of friends like that?
No. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafech. If you kill somebody, you get killed. Why? Ki b'tzelem elokim asah asadam. Because God created man in his image. Va'atem pru urvu shirtzu v'aretz urvuva. There are four mitzvahs in these few psukim. One, the iser to eat blood. Two, the iser to eat Eiver Min Achai. Three, the iser to kill another human being. And four, the mitzvah of pru urvu. We'll just take one of those now. The mitzvah of the isser of eating, I'm sorry, the isser of killing, where is it repeated? Aseret HaDibros, Lo Siritzach. Now, why is it repeated in Aseret HaDibros? God already gave it to us now. What, did he change his mind? Next, the isser to eat dam and Eiver Min Achai. Look right below it. Dvar Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chav Gimel. Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Adam Ki Adam Hu Anefesh. Velot, that's the isser of eating blood. Velot tochal anefeshim abasar is understood to be the isser of Eiver Min Achai. So I asked myself, why? God gave it to us already in Noach. Why would we have thought that God changed his mind and has to repeat these mitzvahs later in the Torah? We got the mitzvahs, yeah.
Maybe in Bereishit it's for everyone in the world, not just for Jews. And in Dvarim it's specifically for Jews.
So it stops. So now I'm asking. So it stops being for everyone.
No.
In your telling, by the way, there's a Gemara like that. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Nun Ches that talks about. It's very hard to understand. It talks about mitzvahs that are repeated and mitzvahs that are not repeated. But one second. But I want to understand. So let's say you're right. So therefore, what's the practical implication of what you're saying?
Well, it still applies to Bnei Noach.
Okay.
But
now it also applies to Jews.
Right.
Okay, so it's a good theory. The problem with the theory is we have a principle in halacha that there can never be something that's usur for Bnei Noach and mutter for Jews. You just know. Like, you don't, being a Jew just gives you more isurim. You can never get out of something. But, you know, when you convert to be Jewish, there can't be any kulos associated with that. Right? There are just more things you can't do. What the Gemara seems to imply is that something that's repeated over in something that was said before and repeated over again is usur for both Goyim and for Jews. And if it's not repeated, then it's only for Jews. I'm sorry, if it's not repeated, then it's only for Jews. Okay? That's the Gemara.
Well, I heard, and I say it like that because I'm not sure if I recounted this correctly, that there's a reference that I don't know the source, but one of the Aseret HaDibros is don't kidnap. It doesn't mean what it says.
Lo tignov.
Right. Yeah, right. Stuff like that. So
don't steal, and then we
what
say
about it?
Don't kidnap.
Steal people.
So having said that, Having said that, it sounds, I wonder if some of the other Aseret HaDibros are not at what they say at face value because they're already up in Bereishis.
Okay, so, right, but the answer is not. The Gemara...
Well, no, I just said kidnapping, for instance. You wouldn't think kidnapping.
Yes, the Gemara has an explanation for why Lo Tignov is kidnapping and not stealing, but it only applies to Lo Tignov.
No, I'm not arguing that, but just as that particular transformer...
doesn't mean exactly that
one, maybe there are other transformers that mean for others.
Again, in theory, it's a great point. In practice, it's the same Gemara that recognized that Lo Tignov means don't kidnap, and Lo Tirtzach means don't kill.
Oh,
it just doesn't mean that.
Meaning no, that all of them are changed.
Don't murder.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought that once we became our own corporate entity, things have to be restated or reapplied to us because we're different.
Again, it could be. And it could be. And let me take what I think is the best example.
It's so, there's got to be a warning. There's two.
No, because we don't think it would work. That's for Lotases anyway.
Yeah.
Right, ein onchin elam masirin, but you wouldn't use it before. But it applies to assays.
We check nunchet. There's nothing here.
The very, very end of nunchet amud bet, the last two lines over to nuntes. I'll accept your apology afterwards. Okay, now look at source number four. You want to apologize publicly, so it's on the tape. Okay, now source number four. Uven shmonat yamim. This is God speaking to Avram Avinu. Okay, again, in Sefer Bereishis, obviously. Uven shmonat yamim yimo lachem kol zachar ledorotechem. Every child, when he's 8 days old, has to have a bris milah. Yilid bayit umiknas kesem mikol benechar asher lo mizarachahu. Okay, those are the details. Clearly, this has got to be forever. Not, you know, Avraham Avinu is the first Jew. God gives him the mitzvah of bris milah. It's great. And not only that, he says... Uven shmonat yamim yimol lachem kol zachar lidorotechem. Couldn't be any clearer. And so it's frustrating to find out that the mitzvah of bris milah was given again later. In Tazria, look right underneath in the second paragraph in 4, the pasuk parasha starts as follows: Daber bnei Yisrael lemor isha ki Tazria v'yaludah zachar. You give birth to a male. V'tama shivat yamim kimeni dat v'ta titma. U'bayom hashemini yimol b'sar orlato. There you have it. The mitzvah of bris milah is given in Parshas Tazria. Well, what's wrong with the mitzvah of milah? It was given in Parshas Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha or Vayera, I forget.
Vayera. Well, it has
no,
to be.
One second. Again, this is, I think, perhaps the most obvious example of the fact that we don't, there's something wrong halakhically with things that happen in Sefer Bereishis, that we needed to have the mitzvah. You know, if you ask anybody what's the source for bris milah, they'd say Avraham Avinu got the mitzvah from God. And yet that's probably not the right answer. The right answer is that, at you know, that in Parshas Tazria it says you have to have bris milah.
But then you'd have to prove that every mitzvah from Bereishit is then repeated, every
correct.
Single one.
Correct, correct.
Not just occasional.
I agree with you.
There's only three?
But there's many, many more. There's only three that we basically look at Sefer Bereishis and we say, well, Pru Urvu, right? That was given both to Adam Arishon and to Noach, and of course to the Avos.
Yeah.
Bris Milah, which I think, you know, you could argue it's not really in Bereishis because it's later, it's in Tazria, and Gid Hanasha, which we'll come to in a second, which is also like an amazing example. But here's a simple point. The mitzvah of bris milah was given again. Okay, we could get to the
Pur Avu we haven't seen so far.
Pur Avu, right, that's a toughie.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really come up again, although there's all these drushos. For example, after Har Sinai, God says to Moshe, Amor lahem shuvu lachem la'ahaleichem, they can go back to their tents, which is understood to mean he had prohibited marital relations before you can't. Okay? And in fact, later that plays out in the story that, you know, they told Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't have relations with his wife, you know. But you're right, there is no Pru Urvu specifically, but it's learned out in various ways. That's the exception. But yeah.
When we do things like visit the sick and we see that the stories of Bereishit
We'll get there.
It's not taryag mitzvah to do that, but it's so, just it's.
We'll get there. Right. It can't be the case that it doesn't matter.
Right.
Can't be. We just have to find meaning in it. But let's do one more example. The example of Gira Nasha, which is really, it's amazing, and you'll see why it's amazing. First of all, what's the story behind Gira Nasha?
Yaakov.
Okay, Yaakov Avinu is fighting with a malach, and the sciatica nerve gets moved. He's losing the fight, whatever, fine. And he's in pain. And therefore, we take it upon ourselves. It's hard to know. But the pasuk is so clear. It's really maybe the most halachic pasuk in all of Sefer Bereishis. The most halachic. Why? Because it explains it. It says in number 5, after the story, Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael at Gira Nasha. For this reason, b'nei Yisrael cannot eat the Gira Nasha asher al kaf hayarech. That's on the thigh. Not just then, ad hayom hazeh. Right, ad hayom hazeh means forever. It's not.
One second.
It's not. You can't. You know, this is a halachic statement. This isn't part of the narrative. The Torah says, for this reason, the Jewish people do not eat Gira Nasha ad hayom hazeh. Why? Ki naga bekaf yerech Yaakov begira nasha. Because the malach touched Yaakov in that place, and it, you know, fine. Forgetting anything else, this obviously has to be the source for the Isser of Gira Nasha. Because the Torah says so. The Torah says, it doesn't give us, you know, you can't do anything with this. The Pasuk itself says, Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael Gira Nasha.
Well, that Ad Hayom Hazeh comment shows that the story that occurred in Bereishis.
Just a second.
Is now being
just a second. Let me
end.
Talk, Bruce. Let me give the shiur. Okay? Now, you can't do anything with this except say what Bruce was about to say, which is not acceptable. Which is, no, this pasuk was taken from a different place and moved to Sefer Bereishis, which only, you know, heretics say things like that.
Well,
and
most of them.
Give me a chance. Only people who aren't frum could say things like that. Because who moves psukim? Okay? The problem, to our great pain, is that it's a Mishnah. It's not Bruce. Frum people do say things like this. And it's an amazing thing. Look in number 6. The Mishnah says as follows. The background is, it's a Mishnah in Chulin, Daf Kufam and Beis. It's easy to remember because Kuf is 100. And you'll see there's an important Rambam on this. When you memorize really cool things, this is a good Mishnah to know. The Mishnah has a machlokes. Which animals do the Isser Gid Hanasha apply to? The question is as follows. If you eat a pork, okay, and you also eat the Gid Hanasha of the pork. Pork is pig, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. I don't like to do pig. What's a better non-kosher animal?
Horse.
Oh, for God's sake.
A horse.
When I was a kid, I thought horses were kosher. Because I went to Camp Tar V'Das, a very frum camp, and they always used to say, well, they're having horse meat tonight. I thought it meant it was like real horses. It wasn't, apparently. Okay. The meat was not good.
How do you know?
The meat was not good. Huh?
How do you know?
It's Camp Tar V'Das, for God's sakes.
Well, after they dropped the cat and the chillin' for BMT.
I heard that story. Okay. Now, so the question is, what's the question? The question is, can you have a double isser? Right? If you're eating treif, can you also be over by the same time as treif as being over on the isser of Gid Hanasha? Right? Which is annoying, like a... You want to just eat treif. Treif I eat, but Gid Hanasha I would never eat. You know, you go to the restaurant, you ask them, listen, could you remove the sciatica nerve from my pig? Okay, fine. So, here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows. Noheg b'tahara ve'eino noheg b'tuma. The Isser Gid Hanasha only applies to kosher animals. This is the first sheet of the Mishnah. It does not apply to non-kosher animals. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af b'tumeya. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not true. If you eat a non-kosher animal, you're over on 2 Isurim, non-kosher animal, and Isser Gid Hanasha. Now, the problem
is... Which overrides which?
There's no overriding. So that's the machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no overriding. You're over on 2 things.
If you eat the crocodile, you say, I'll eat the crocodile, but I don't want the sciatic nerve.
You scare me sometimes. So the answer is, you get rid of this... So again... The answer is as follows. The first sheet in the Mishnah, Tanakama, says, if you're eating treif, that's the Isser. Ein iser chal al iser. You could only have one iser. And the iser is you're eating treif. And Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no. It applies also if you eat treif and you eat the sciatica nerve, you're over on two isurim. Okay? Now, here's the interesting part. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's explanation? Normally the rule is ein iser chal al iser. That if I eat treif, you can't layer on, you know, more isurim on top of that. If I eat treif, that's my iser. So Rabbi Yehuda has a fantastic limur. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, why do I have two isurim here against the general rule? V'halo af mi bnei Yaakov ne'asar gid hanasha. Because gid hanasha was prohibited in the times of Yaakov. Okay? V'adayin behema tumea muteres lahem. They never got an iser of eating pig. Yaakov Avinu's children didn't know about kosher and non-kosher. Okay, you heard all these things. Right. You heard all these people. Like, how could it be that Yaakov Avinu's children had payas and wore strimals and didn't know about, you know? It's a question. It's a strong question. It's a very strong question. No, to be honest with you also, it's a question on that whole strain of Medrashim in Chazal that say that the Avos kept Kol HaTorah Kula. The general answer is, it's an interesting point. The general answer to the question is that they kept only mitzvot aseh. That even when you read that, you know, Yaakov lived and he said to Esav, Im lavan garti v'eichar arata, and Rashi says, Im lavan garti v'tarag mitzvah shamarti, doesn't really mean all 613. Obviously nobody here can keep all 613, but it means, it's a very nice idea also, it means just the mitzvot aseh. And by the way, philosophically it makes a lot of sense. Why don't we eat meat and milk? The answer is because God said don't eat meat and milk. If God didn't say don't eat meat and milk, we'd eat meat and milk. So it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. One second.
God didn't actually say
it. It doesn't do anything to not eat meat and milk but before God prohibits it. Because there's nothing wrong with it.
God didn't actually say that.
But in terms of mitzvot aseh, to anticipate God's will, you know, to anticipate that God's going to give me a mitzvah of karbanot. Right? So there's a value in it even before God gives it. It's true. He didn't give it yet. So that's the general understanding. So back to the Mishnah.
So Avram did serve up meat and milk to the
Not at the same time.
Yeah, he did.
I feel like
if they're eating trade for animals. If they're eating trade for animals, they were certainly eating meat.
Scotch.
Big man. That'd be logical.
Okay, if it makes you feel better, fine. And Avram Avinu used electricity on Shabbos against the Chazon Ish. Okay? Fine. V'adayin, you need that one. So fine. So what does he say? So Rabbi Yehuda says, it's true. Normally, ein iser chal al iser. But here, the iser of Gid HaNasha was given before there was any such thing as kosher and treif. Therefore, the iser of Gid HaNasha applied from that moment on to pigs and to horses and to sheep and to cows because there was no distinction back then. So it applies forever. Now here's the amazing thing. Amru lo answers the Tanakama or Chachamim b'Sinai ne'emar ela shenichtav bimakomo. No. They didn't get the mitzvah of Gid HaNasha at the time of Yaakov Avinu. They got it at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? As a remembrance of this story of Yaakov Avinu, where the Malach, you know, moved his sciatica nerve, we're going to prohibit eating Gid HaNasha. And then I want to be dangerous. I want to be careful how I say this. I'm not sure exactly how to say it. Then he said to Moshe, "You know what? Let's put that pasuk in Sefer Bereishis." So it's like it's the narrator talking. Here's the story: Yaakov Avinu has this fight, and he's limping, and his leg hurts him. Now the narrator of the Torah puts in this in parens this pasuk, and it says, "Al kein lo yochlu bnei Yisrael es gid hanasha asher al kaf hayarech ad hayom hazeh ki nagah bekaf yarech Yaakov behev koimo." Yosef and Reuven and Shimon, they ate gid hanasha all the time. They didn't have any. They didn't know anything about it. It was only later on. See, the way we normally read the pasuk is, the children of Yaakov Avinu got together and they said, you know what, to commemorate this amazing feat of our father fighting with, they're not going to, no. So the Mishnah says, it's not true. Al kein lo yichlu bnei Yisrael doesn't mean the Shvatim. It means us, the Jewish people. It's an amazing, amazing shita. But underlying it is the fact that stuff that happens in Bereishis doesn't matter halachically. So we actually move the pasuk. Right? This pasuk that every single person here always read as being a continuation of the narrative that the children of Yaakov didn't eat Gidanasha because of what happened to him. Chachamim say in a Mishnah in Chulin, no. That's a pasuk that was given at Har Sinai and moved back to its place. All to explain this shita of why Gid Hanasha only applies to kosher animals and doesn't apply to treif animals.
So
it's an amazing shita.
So according to that...
You love this shita.
Yes.
I know, it annoys you to be happy. But still, get used to it. Get used to it.
According to that... everything, the whole Torah was given at Sinai. Mm-hmm. We don't know in what order, or whatever. We only know what's written down later.
Good.
We don't know what order it was given, but it was all given over to the people.
Agreed.
It had been given over
not to the people.
Well, to
Moshe.
Compared to the Zekanim, and then so
to, right.
So
eventually it got around to all the people.
Eventually it got around to everyone.
Good, I'm with you.
So, in other words, according to that, we don't need any repetition of the mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishit, because it's possible pro revu where there's no repetition.
Okay.
Was actually given at Sinai.
I'm with you.
And it just wasn't.
I'm with
down.
You, and I want to get there because I agree with you. That's problematic, and we need to find some meaning in it. And the point here is not to erase Sefer Bereishis, Godfrey, because I think these things matter. And I think, you know, it's so funny when you ask people, you know, to list the chukim, things that we don't understand. So it's always going to be shatnes and kilayim and you know. And paraduma and yibo, you know. Now the weird, you know, not eating the sciatica nerve should have been number one. But there's a pasuk that, you know, you could ask in a million different ways. That's the one that we chose. But we feel like we understand it. And this Mishnah sort of, you know, makes us question a whole bunch of things. Now.
Sure.
So
the Jews or I
always read the pasuk to mean, therefore the children, meaning Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, the children of Yisrael, comes this Mishnah. Again, comes to Chachamim in this Mishnah and say it doesn't mean children of Yaakov, children of Yisrael. It means the Jewish people. In a way, that's the machlokes. Okay, so it's two shifts in the Mishnah. Now, the most definitive statement about the value of things before and after is said by the Rambam on this Mishnah. It's one of the most famous Perush HaMishnayos, and the Rambam usually clues you in when he's going to say something important by telling you, I'm about to say something really important. So here it goes. Look at number 7. This is the Rambam. Again, the Rambam wrote Perush HaMishnayos on Mishnayos. Everybody, we know, by the way, that the Rambam wrote the Perush HaMishnayos first. Okay, that was basically the first important work that he wrote. He wrote it in his 30s, like on a boat, running away. He wrote it in Arabic, although he wrote it in Arabic with Hebrew letters. Right, which is why you can actually like take a shot at reading some of the sources, because it's in Arabic, but he wrote it in Hebrew letters. Apparently there was so much cross-pollinization of languages. When I was a kid, we used to write notes, like English words, but with Hebrew letters, so that like the teacher, if she got the note, couldn't read it. Because, you know, it said like, okay, you know, Aleph Vav Kuf Yud, and, you know, something you put in the dots, but she couldn't read it. So the Rambam wrote it that way. Now, here he goes. He says, number 7. V'sim libcha liklal hakadol hazeh hamuva b'mishnazo. Okay, again, the Rambam. Pay attention. I'm about to learn out a major principle from this Mishnah. What's the major principle? V'hu amaram mi Sinai ne'esa. Right? The Mishnah says that Gid Hanasha was only given at Har Sinai. V'hu. She'atat sarich ladat. You have to know the following. She'kol ma she'anu nizharim mimenu. O osim oto hayom. Anything that we do or don't do. Any mitzvat asay or mitzvat lo ta'asay. Right? Any obligation, any prohibition. Ein anu osim zot. Ela mipnei tzivui Hashem al yidei Moshe. the reason for every single thing that we do is because God commanded it to Moshe. Could not be any clearer. And he continues, Lo mipnei shehashem tziva bekach linvi'im shekadmuhu. See, I would have said, fine, what the Rambam means is, everything we do is because God commanded Moshe, and you can't say, well, Yosef sat Shiva for his father, so we're going to learn Shiva from that. And you can't say, oh, the Jewish people stopped eating Yidan Asher. So, but the Rambam says, no, not only that. He says, on top of that, in the third line in the middle, Lo mipnei shehashem tziva bekach linvi'im shekadmuhu. It's not even, we can't even count the mitzvah that God commanded to Avraham, Yitzchak, or Yaakov. Dugma lakach, example. Ein anu ochlim eiver minachai. We're not allowed to eat eiver minachai. But lo mipnei shehashem asar al b'nei Noach eiver minachai. It's not because of the pasuk that we read earlier, that God told Noach, you can't eat eiver minachai. Why? Ela mipnei shemoshe asar aleinu eiver minachai b'mashe nitztava b'sinai shiyishaer eiver minachai asur. It's because Moshe commanded us at Eiver Minachai, at Har Sinai. Now again, here's a shocking thing. The Rambam assumes that nobody ate Eiver Minachai from the time of Noach until Har Sinai. And at Har Sinai, you have to look carefully at his words, at Har Sinai, we weren't introduced to the Isra of Eiver Minachai. Nobody ate Eiver Minachai. At Har Sinai, we were told, Sheyisha'er Eiver Minachai Asur. That Eiver Minachai remains prohibited. They always knew it was prohibited. And the Rambam says now, if you ask, the Rambam's point is, if you say, why don't we eat Eiver Minachai Bizman Azeh? There's only one answer. Because God told Moshe to tell us at Har Sinai not to eat Eiver Minachai. Aye, but God told Noach, you know, 1,000 years before. It's probably not, yeah, maybe. 1,000 years before, more than that, that he can't eat Eiver Minachai and that still continue. No. At Har Sinai, we got the mitzvah of Eiver Minachai, and we didn't get it from Noach.
So Har Sinai is codifying the.
Well, you want to say, but I think he means it even more.
That preceded it.
I think he means it even more. V'chein. There's a duck in your pocket. Okay. V'chein. Ein anu. Here's the more famous one. V'chein. Ein anu malim. We don't have a bris milah. Biglal she'Avraham malat atzmo va'anshei beito. And there God came to Avraham and he told him to do it. Ella, rather, mipnei she'Hashem tzivanu al yidei Moshe lihimol kimo she'mal Avraham alav ha'shalom. The reason is a pasuk in Parshas Tazria, not the pasuk in Vayera that everybody would have quoted. V'chein gid hanasheh. The example we've been talking about. Ein anu nimshachim bo acharei isur Yaakov Avinu. We don't not eat Gid HaNoshe because Yaakov Avinu and his sons didn't eat Gid HaNoshe. Elot tzivui Moshe Rabbeinu. It's because God commanded us. How does he know this? Halo tireh. Amaram, the Gemara says, Sheish meot ushlosh esrei mitzvot ne'emru lo l'moshe b'sinai v'chol eila michlal ha-mitzvot. Basically, the Rambam says, we got the Torah at Har Sinai. We got the mitzvot at Har Sinai, mitzvot aseh and mitzvot laot aseh, and stuff that came before it doesn't count for halachic purposes. He could not be any clearer. So, one, it's interesting to speculate why the Rambam was so, you know, was so firm in this position. What would be so bad? You know, if we learn something from before Har Sinai.
The Rambam had a very orderly mind and he wanted to codify.
Okay, it could be a question of codification.
If the Emunah is, God, we're only doing this because he gave it to us and not for any cruelty reasons or any other reasons. This is what I'm giving it to him. I'm saying, do it.
Okay, I think there's truth to all this. I think that the Rambam believed very strongly that understanding the sources for things, not just intellectual source, but the religious source for things, and the difference between Doraisas and Rabbanan and Minhagim, like, I think that the Rambam was very, very clear that there are distinctions between them, and that they matter very much. Okay? This is the Rambam Shita. Except there are other Rambams that appear to conflict, contradict. The Rambam changed his mind, not clear. So what I want to do now, again, just to be clear, the Rambam Shita is what people call Nitna Torah v'nischad shahalacha. Everything comes from Har Sinai, and the stuff that comes before it doesn't matter. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Tariag Mitzvah, 613 mitzvahs, and again, Bris Mila, why? Parsha and Tazria. Gid Anasha, why? Har Sinai. Pur Vu, why? Har Sinai. Okay, everything is from Har Sinai. Eivra Minachai, Har Sinai. Now,
is it possible after 300 years of slavery that we don't know how the Jews lived during those periods.
Okay.
The Torah doesn't tell us.
Okay.
Maybe everything was abandoned then. Who knows? And you had to start from scratch.
So I would say that, except in the Rambam, it doesn't even sound that way. When the Rambam says that Har Sinai, he told him to continue observing Eivra Min Achai, the sense you get is that even for the Rambam, they knew there was an Isser Eivra Min Achai. I think our assumption is Jews knew about Bris Mila in
Did
Mitzrayim.
They practice it?
Huh?
Well,
they practiced it right after. Certainly, they got Bris Mila before Har Sinai, because they did Bris Mila on the way out of Egypt to eat Karban. Okay. There are arguments either way, but clearly they did it, in connection with Karban Pesach. So certain things did exist. I can't tell you that Jews in Egypt wore yarmulkes, but
we're strong.
Okay. Now. No, for sure.
I grew up.
Listen, I used to think it was a joke, but then I saw it footnoted. There's actually a three-volume work on yarmulke in halacha. And when I was a kid, the joke was, what's the source for wearing a yarmulke in the Torah? Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Yaakov left. Would he have left without a yarmulke?
Without a shtreimel.
Okay, so anyway, that's the source. Now look at this. This is the same Rambam. The Rambam in number 8 in Hilchos Malachim, which is where he deals with mitzvot b'nei Noach and Gentiles and things like that. The Rambam tells us a little story. He says as follows: Al shisha dvarim nitztava Adam harishon. It's funny. We say Zayin mitzvot b'nei Noach because the seventh one, Eivra Min Achai, was given to Noach. But we believe that 6 were given to Adam. It's just we happen to call them Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Okay? Al Shisha Dvarim Nitztava Adam Arishon. Al Avodah Zarah. Va'al Birchas Hashem, cursing God. This is Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Va'al Shvichus Damim, murder. Va'al Gilui Arayos, sexual immorality. Va'al Agezel, theft. Va'al Adinim, establishing court systems, whatever you say dinim are. He says, even though those things were repeated later on from Moshe Rabbeinu, v'hadat no telahem, and they make sense, meaning they're not chukim, you could understand why all these things were necessary for society and prohibited, and v'hadat no telahem, michlal divrei Torah yeira'esh sha'al elu nitztavu. It appears from the Pesukim and from our tradition that they were commanded with these 6 mitzvot. Okay? Now watch what happens. Third line at the end. Hosif lenoach eiver minachai. Then once we were allowed to eat meat, we added the 7th prohibition of eiver minachai. Shenemar, the Pesuk we read before, ach basar benafsho domo lo tochelu. Nimtzu sheva mitzvot. Okay? Now we're up to 7. V'chein haya hadavar b'chal ha'olam ad Avraham. He says there were 7 mitzvahs that applied to everybody in the world, no such thing as Jews, everybody in the world, until Avraham came. By the way, he doesn't say everybody kept them, but till Avraham came. Third line from the bottom. Ba Avraham v'nitztave yeter al elu b'mila. Then Avraham came, he got the mitzvah of Bris Mila. V'hu hitpalel shacharit. Okay, a little hard to know what to do that, but Avraham got Bris Mila. Let's say that's number 8. And he davened Shachris. Maybe that's 9, maybe it's not. V'Yitzchak hifrish ma'aser. Yitzchak did another mitzvah. He was ma'frish ma'aser. Let's say that's number 9. V'osiv tfila acheret lifnot hayom. And he added another mitzvah, another thing. He added mincha. Okay, let's say we don't count mincha as a separate mitzvah. That's number 9. V'Yaakov hosif gid hanasheh. Yaakov added another mitzvah number 10 of Gid Anasheh. v'hit palel arvit, and he davened Maariv. And he continues, u'bemitzrayim nitztava Amram b'mitzvot yiterot. He says, Amram, Moshe's father, I don't even know what these are, got additional mitzvos. Ad sheba Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishlema Torah al yado. Till Moshe Rabbeinu came, v'nishlema Torah al yado, and the Torah was completed by him. It sounds like the simple reading, everybody reads the Rambam this way, is that Moshe Rabbeinu got, let's say, 603 mitzvos, which when you add to the 10 that were given before, completed all of the Tariag mitzvos.
I don't think it's a contradiction.
Huh?
I don't think it's a contradiction.
I do. Again, because the Rambam said, nothing matters before Har Sinai, every mitzvah has to be given at Har Sinai. Now he says, here's the history of all the mitzvos, and then Moshe came, and the Torah was completed by him, completed in the sense that he added on to those mitzvahs given before to complete the 613 mitzvot. That, again, it's not just me. Don't worry, I have answers. The Rambam knew what he was saying, but most Achronim point this out. It's a real problem for the Rambam in that in the Sefer HaMitzvos he couldn't have been any clearer. I'm sorry, in the Perush HaMishnayos, he could not have been any clearer about Nitna Torah v'nischat shalacha. Everything was erased at Har Sinai, and if it wasn't given at Har Sinai, it doesn't apply. And here the Rambam seems to be giving us the history of mitzvos, not all of them, but the history of fundamental mitzvos. And he says, and Avram Avinu got this one, and Yitzchak got this one, Yaakov got this one, and Amram got this one, and then Moshe came and completed the giving of the Torah.
The previous source that you brought says that Brit Milah, Gidon Asher, were continued at Sinai, and the only reason we're chayav is because they were brought at Sinai.
Okay.
So they were.
And here the Rambam seems to say that they weren't given at Sinai. Vinishlamat Torah al Yadav. Listen, if it's fine with you, then it's fine. But okay, most people see this Rambam as being genuinely problematic in that it seems to be inconsistent with both the spirit and the technicality of the Rambam saying the mitzvahs were given before Har Sinai don't matter. Here, you read this Rambam, it sounds like the mitzvahs that were given before Har Sinai very much do matter. And when you say, you know, continued.
He says they were.
Yes, but he doesn't say continued in the sense that it's the same mitzvah or it's the same prohibition.
They were formalized at Sinai.
Okay, so that's your reading. That's not my reading. But I'll show you a more difficult one. A more difficult one, although maybe this won't bother you either. Look at the next one. Look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah. What did the Rambam say with respect to, in the previous Rambam, in number 8? Why do we daven Shacharis? Just read between the lines. Because Avram did. And he said, and Yitzchak started the afternoon tefillah, and Yaakov did the night tefillah. Okay? So if you asked anybody, why do we daven? What is the Rambam's shita on davening? The answer is the Avos, right? The Gemara has a machlokes, whether tefillos kineged Avos tiknum, or kineged karbonos, right? Are they because of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, or because of the tamid shel shachar, and the tamid shel bein arbaim, and the burning of bones on the mizbech at night? So now look at number 9. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, v'chein tiknu sheyehe minyan hatfilot kiminyan hakarbanot. Not like what we said before, but tefillos have to do with karbanos. How does it work? Shtei tefillot b'chol yom kineged shnei tmidim. Every day you daven two tefillot in commemoration or in corresponding to the tamid shel shachar and the tamid shel bein arbaim. V'chol yom sheyesh karban musaf tiknu bo tefillah shlishit kineged karban musaf. And any day, you know, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yomim Tovim, that there was a karban musaf, so you have an additional davening. Utfilah shehi kineged tamid shel boker hi anikrei tefillat hashachar. Okay, that's the morning davening. Utfilah shehi kineged tamid shel bein arbaim hi anikrei tefillat mincha. Utfilah shehi kineged hamusafim hi anikrei tefillat hamusafim. V'chein itkinu shehi adam mitpalal tefillah achat ba'layla sharei eivarei tamid shel bein arbaim mitaklim v'olchim kol alayla. Because you burn the afternoon karban all night. Right? Couldn't be any clearer. If you ask the Rambam, how do you paskin? The Rambam says, tefillos kineged karbonos tiknum. This is the din in Hilchos Tefillah. And the Rambam says, of course, the zmanei tefillah correspond to the times of the karbonos. So what do we do with the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, who went out of his way to tell us that Avram davened Shachris and Yitzchak davened Mincha and Yaakov davened Marv, and it was clear that that was part of the mitzvos that were then Nishlama al Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. So I think the answer is obvious. I'm sure other people say this, but I think it has a deeper meaning also. I do think that these two Rambams are inconsistent, or these three Rambams are inconsistent, unless you think in bigger terms. It was, and here I think is the point. It's inconceivable to say that the things that happened in Sefer Bereishis don't matter. Of course they matter. Of course it matters that Avraham Avinu gave a bris milah to his son. Of course it matters that we got all these mitzvahs before. What the Rambam is saying is as follows. And this, I think, is like classic Rambam. The Rambam is saying, if you ask me why I do any of the mitzvahs, the answer is because God commanded me to do those mitzvahs at Har Sinai. That's the answer to every single question and every single mitzvah. But if you ask me what the mitzvah means to me, it matters very much that the Avos did things. The reason why I daven Shachris is Keneged Tamid Shel Shachar. But it matters, it's meaningful to me that Avraham Avinu daven Shachris. It makes my davening much different. It makes my davening much better. If I had to pick out, you know, words to try to describe it, I would say the Rambam is as follows. At Har Sinai, you know, we have two broad categories of mitzvahs. Chukim and Mishpatim. Chukim, we don't understand, we just do because we're commanded, and Mishpatim have deeper meaning. What I would say is as follows. The Rambam says each of those terms could apply to the same mitzvah. Every mitzvah is a chok in the sense that I do it because God commanded me to do it. But there are mitzvahs that are mishpatim as well. What makes them mishpatim? They're mishpatim in that there's a much deeper meaning. When I do them, my experience in doing this mitzvah is deepened and colored by the fact that I know the story in Sefer Bereishis. The story in Sefer Bereishis does not matter halachically. But we're much more than halachic people. When I sit Shiva, God forbid, I would hope that the fact that Yosef did it for his father would bring deeper meaning. It would matter to me that Jews have been sitting Shiva since Yaakov Avinu. It would matter to me. That's not why I do it. I do it because God commanded me to do it. But once I'm doing it, it's this huge layers of meaning that exist only because of the fact that it happened in Sefer Bereishis. Gid Hanasha. Okay, so it's not that meaningful and I don't shop, but I assume, you know, it's nice to think that the reason why I'm not eating this has to do with Yaakov Avinu and has to do with the story that happened in Sefer Bereishis. It gives great meaning to it. Easiest example, and this everybody here knows. You ask the Rambam, why do I circumcise my male children? The answer is because God commanded me at Har Sinai. But what did God command me at Har Sinai? Look back at the Rambam in number 7. Let me find it. Here, third line from the end. Third full line from the V'chein einanu malim biglal she'avram malat atzmo v'anshei beito. We don't do it because of Avram el ripnei she'ashem tzivanu al-yidei Moshe lihimol kimo shemal Avraham alav ha-shalom. The Rambam doesn't ignore the fact that Avraham Avinu gave his children a bris milah, gave himself a bris milah. He just says the legal requirement for bris milah is Har Sinai. But it doesn't change the emotional component. And I'll show you this. What do we do at a bris milah? We make two brachos if you ignore Shechianu. Okay? One is, Asher ki deshanu mitzvah tzivanu al hamilah. That's Har Sinai. God commanded me to circumcise my son. That's one bracha. But anybody who ever gave a bris milah to their son liked the second bracha better. Right? Baruch atah Hashem elkeinu melech haolam asher kiddushei mitzvah tzivanu lahachniso bivrito shel Avraham Avinu. By the way, my oldest son's bris was on Shabbos, was on Parshas Vayera. It was very meaningful to me to think, I remember at the time, you know, to think that I'm doing something that Avraham Avinu did 3,000, more than that, 3,000 years ago. It was incredibly meaningful. I don't think the Rambam's trying to erase that. The Rambam is separating between halacha and experience. And the Rambam is, and by the way, the Rambam believed in both, but he thought they shouldn't be confused. Because when they're confused, they lead to all kinds of problems in Judaism. And so he says as follows, The rule is absolutely clear. Every mitzvah that you do because God commanded you at Har Sinai. Having said that, now you can look to Sefer Bereishis, not for halachic, you know, support, but I would call it, you know, for religious support, for spiritual support, for meaning. The history of Am Yisrael, and when the Rambam describes the development of Torah and Hilchos Malachim, it's not a halachic statement. It's a historical statement. He's saying, this is the way mitzvahs unfolded. It matters. It matters very much.
That's true of every legal system.
It matters very well. The Rambam was worried about that, which is why I think part of the reason why he's so clear that it only matters at house, that the legal requirements only started at Har Sinai, but the religious, historical, emotional components, they existed forever. So I'll show you an example.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, look in number 10. Here's a good example. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuvos. No, don't look yet. Why do we blow shofar? No. Why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? No.
So it tells us.
Because the Torah says to blow shofar. Okay, I set you up. Now look. Look at the Rambam.
You have a history of that. Speaking of
you have a history of falling for it. Now, Afal pi shetkiyas shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. Gzeras hakasuv. The Rambam says, why do we blow shofar? To gzeras hakasuv. The Pasuk says, you know, yom tura yelachem. That's why. Remez yeshbo. The Rambam says you don't have to stop there. If you ask me why you blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, the answer is because God commanded me to. But if you ask me what does it mean, Remez yeshbo, klomar uru yisheni mishinaschem v'nirdomim hakitzu mitardematchem v'chipsu b'maaseichem v'chizru b'tshuva v'zichru borachem. It's an alarm clock. It inspires you. It wakes you up. It, you know, all those things are true, but that's not why. The Rambam says you have to distinguish. The legal, you know, requirement to blow shofar is not to feel tshuva. It's because the Torah says you have to blow shofar. Now, once you're blowing shofar, it's great to know all these things. It's great to know that shofar is also supposed to remind you of X, Y, and Z. It's supposed to fill you with deep meaning. It's supposed to terrify you. But that's not why. Why is this helpful? Because when somebody shows up and says, well, the Torah says to blow shofar in order to inspire you to do tshuva, I got a better idea. I mean it. I got a better idea. But it's going to inspire people to do tshuva. The answer is, we don't have that kind of latitude. Because the Torah was given at Har Sinai, and the mitzvahs that were given as mitzvahs. There's nothing else you could do. So when somebody comes along and says, I got a better way to commemorate, let's face it, nobody sits around thinking about Yaakov Avinu when they eat a steak. Right? So somebody comes up with a new idea. Right? We'll allow you to eat Kiranasha, but instead we'll have this whole ceremony. We don't have that kind of latitude.
It's not so plenty of Jews think, why can't I eat a filet mignon? Damn Yaakov. Because we can't.
In all fairness, people don't think that halachically.
In the bush.
Well, maybe they do. I don't know. But in Israel, you could eat filet mignon. One second. So, now, I'll end with one last thing. Again, it's a distinction that exists between the legal side and the historical, religious, spiritual, emotional side. And I think the Rambam was aware of both, but he thought it was really, really important to separate between them. And I said the last thing. The story in Yeshiva in Gush, where I am, is that Rav Lichtenstein on his notebooks in college used to write a pasuk on the cover. The pasuk said, Tuv tam vadat lamdeni, teach me the meaning of your mitzvos, kibbe mitzvosecha ha'emanti, because I believe in your mitzvos. The pshat is, I don't think that he thought this, I think Rav Schechter said it, but the pshat is as follows. You say to God, reveal to me the deep meaning of your mitzvahs. I want to understand all the secrets. Why? Keep a mitzvah secher amati. Because I'm doing them anyway. Don't give me the explanation so that I'll do them. I'm doing them anyway. I got all the mitzvahs at Har Sinai. I'm doing them anyway. Now I go back to Sefer Bereishis, and I find all this deep meaning. Some of it is real, some of it isn't, but it doesn't matter because I'm doing them anyway. And I think that the Rambam was so clear on that distinction so that we get out of trouble. The reason for every mitzvah is because God commanded me. Now, what does the mitzvah mean to me? We'll look in Sefer Bereishis. We'll look in Sefer Shmos. We'll look there. I say Sefer Bereishis because that's what we're talking about, but it could be all over. That stuff does matter. Shkach. Question?
I say 2 minutes.
I thought that the stories, when the Rambam says you have to believe in God, there's a mitzvah.
Yeah.
So you have the stories of Bereishit. If you don't accept the stories, then you don't, in a sense, believe in God quite the same way. What are you saying, that
okay.
you know, someone made up these stories?
It's a human weakness that that's natural. You think that
okay, thank you, Willie.
Correct.